This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Tree Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, the call from Khairi Jamaluddin for more money to be spent on healthcare.
First, we discuss how we can get this additional funding for our healthcare system and what the blocks have been. And then, where should this money go?
And that's it. Those are the questions we want to hear from you on as well. Are you willing to pay more at public hospitals and clinics? And where would you like to see more investment in our healthcare? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or send us a voice note there, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08. So, last Monday, during the Health Policy Summit 2022, Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin urged for public health expenditure to be increased to 5% of the GDP to ensure that Malaysia has a world-standard public health system in the future, specifically saying that for an upper-middle-income country, the benchmark for public health expenditure is usually between 4 and 5% of the GDP in comparison to where we are, which is 2.59% for public health spend. And I mean, we see this in a number of ways. This is also not the first time, to be fair, that we are hearing this from not just this health minister, but health ministers. And I mean, some of the things that have been brought up include long waiting times. We know this, a lack of specialists and a lack of availability for specialist treatments and screenings also, with, for example, MRIs and CT scans and the wait to access them coming up quite often.
So the minister acknowledged that he knows all ministries are also seeking allocations, but he made a case for health needing to be a priority, essentially. Now, he did use a quote to say this, which perhaps not the best quote, but I think perhaps take it in the spirit that it was delivered. He said, all ministries are equally important, but some ministries are more important than other ministries, which is, of course, a reference from George Orwell's Animal Farm. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And essentially, he said, the health ministry is created more equal than others as their core business is about the life and death of people.
Which, as you said, is the spirit, right? In which that quote was actually used. Although, of course, the spoiler, the quote in the book is said by the villain. I don't think that that's how it should be seen here, but it is curious that it showed up in this context. And this is a call that has been supported by, of course, the Malaysian Medical Association, saying that this is something that that the government must do if it is sincere about reforming public healthcare.
This is actually a call that's been gathering steam for a while, right? And I think the last couple of years has showed us even more than ever why investing in our public healthcare system is so important. And, you know, this has sort of spiraled into a number of different conversations. One, as we said, what should we be investing in? But also the conversation of how. Because obviously, saying we need to be spending more means that the money has to be coming from somewhere. And so this also opens up the question of whether we need to take a bit of a mind shift as well. Because one thing that many people point out is that we're actually paying very, very little for our public healthcare expenditure. We, as in what we pay for public healthcare services.
So this is always chicken and egg, right? Because people will say, on the one hand, like you did, that there is a very logical argument as to why it is that we should be paying more, that there could even be a tiered payment system in which people who have more money to spare should be paying more. People who don't can therefore be subsidized. There are all these conversations happening. The flip side of that is that at the moment, people operating within a system in which there are long waits, in which you have to wait forever to see a doctor, things like that, then go and say, well, what am I paying for this? So there is this back and forth, and it's pretty much perpetual. Then you have other conversations about, well, maybe taxation can be a way, and that, you know, the extra money that is earned from whatever taxation happens should then be funneled through to hospitals. Then there's the other thing, of course, about if we have this additional money, where should it go? You know, should it go into heavier investments in infrastructure? Should there be an investment in mental health and mental health specialists? There are all these things, right? And it is a complex thing, hence the white paper, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm actually really interested to see where this conversation goes. I do think that, and I'm always proud to say this, that we actually have one of the better public healthcare systems in the world. And that's something we should acknowledge, but I don't think we should take it for granted that it will always continue to serve our needs.
So we are going to start off our show today by talking about this issue of where to get the money, this additional money to push us up so that our health spend is larger. And we'd like to hear from you. Are you willing to pay more at public hospitals and clinics? Where would you like to see more investments in our healthcare specifically? Where do you think it could be improved? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. If you do plan to, maybe you can start by introducing yourself. Just say hi, your name, and then tell us your point. And also tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be joined by our first guest after this. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:15 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're focused today on public health expenditure because the health minister is asking for this to be increased to 5% of our GDP, up from the current almost half, 2.59%. And we've therefore been also asking you, are you willing to pay more at public hospitals and clinics? Where would you like to see more investment in our healthcare? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp, or leave us a voice note at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Speaking with us now is Professor Datuk Dr. Syed Mohamed Al-Junid, Professor of Health Economics and Public Health Medicine from Kuwait University. He's also the President of the Malaysian Health Economics Association. Prof. Syed, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me in this important session. It's very timely. We just had the announcement by our WABI minister yesterday, and this is something that important for us to look forward in terms of the overall our health system reform in the next a few years or so.
So on that, right, we've, as we said, only allocated 2.59% of GDP for public health expenditure. Are we underspending?
Yes, we have been talking about this for so long. 2.5% of GDP for public health spending, I think we have to make sure that we don't confuse the terminology of public health expenditure and public health expenditure for health. I think what he meant, 2.5%, is basically the MOH budget versus the overall GDP. And that accounts for about currently about 2.5%. We are grossly underfunded. I think this has been going in for quite some time. And as you know, that the healthcare cost has been escalating quite significantly for the past decades or so. Nothing has been done so much from the allocation of the MOH budget and also the facilities funded by the government. As a result, we can see a lot of problems with the our health facilities. We are not able to employ an adequate number of doctors. We are not able to get adequate number of positions within the health system. Supplies of drugs, the equipments, all this actually leads to a lot of a problem. One important indicator is the length of stay or the waiting list and waiting time. That is actually a reflection of underfunding. Apart from it, it's also due to some other problems in terms of the way that we manage our health system. But funds is a major issue that is lacking here that actually adversely affect our performance of the health system.
So the health minister is proposing to increase the public healthcare expenditure to 5% of our GDP. It's perhaps the most generous allocation that that's ever been proposed for public health here. Do you agree with this?
I'm really excited and then agree with that that suggestions. And of course, it will not be enough in addressing the issue. We need to make sure that we know how to spend it properly. And then the other thing, the other issue is that, are we going to get this 5% allocations or not? Which actually means that we have to double whatever MOH is receiving now. I think MOH is getting about 30 billion per year, which means that we need to raise another minimum of 30 billion annually. Are we going to get this, and what are the possible sources that we need to tap into this. And that is the major question that is the something that we need to discuss and find solution to this in short as well as in long term.
So we look at that 4 to 5%, right? And this is the number that we keep coming back to. Is that actually the ideal number? I know that maybe asking a health professional how much we should be spending, you know, that percentage maybe can never be enough. But is 4 to 5% in fact ideal?
Yeah. The 4 to 5%, or in fact 5% of the overall total health expenditure versus GDP, was the figure which was probably been quoted, sourced from the WHO for quite some time. But WHO in the last few years said that they are not the one who actually officially put that 5% GDP figure. It was their consultant that stated that. But anyway, that figure has been picked up as one of the ways to look at it. If you look at the overall health expenditure in the middle income country, it is not only the public health expenditure, but the total health expenditure. It is should be the ideal figure should be if we look at the overall spending in countries that have a good system, especially in the European region, we need to spend probably a minimum of about 9 to 10% of our GDP total expenditure, not only on public, and 60 to 70% of it come from the from the government expenditure. So I think for middle income country, this is probably the minimum. And if you combine this 5% GDP for the public health expenditure versus the other source of funding from the private expenditure, so it will come to a total of about 7.5%, 7 to 7.5% of the total expenditure versus by GDP. This is quite adequate. When I did a study on the Malaysian health system, I think nearly about 10 years ago, when we were looking at the figures on the Mega Science Project, my report suggests that we should look at least 8 to 9% of GDP. This was actually nearly 10 years ago, which is almost double what we are going to get from the overall health expenditure. But of course, that has never been addressed. And I think today, if we have 5% of GDP for only public health sector, that will be a big jump from what we have, we already have for the past decades, actually.
You touched earlier on a number of issues as a result of underfunding. Which sectors in public healthcare stand to benefit the most from this increase in funding?
Yeah, I think we know very well that the scenario is very different now than before. We are going to struggle with chronic non-communicable diseases. Last week, MOH also launched the NCD report, and they show us the significant amount of resources are needed for non-communicable diseases, especially diabetes, cancers, chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases, and also other chronic condition, especially the costly one like cancers. So, and these chronic non-communicable diseases cannot be addressed from the curative perspective. We have to move into the preventive and promotive. We have been talking about it, but actually, we know the benefit of having these preventive services. Over the years, we have been talking about how to actually do this, but the money does not follow that. In fact, in some countries, I'm not only concerned or talking about Malaysia, some country, when they increase the health funding, majority of the resources that have been increased is to build hospitals, which is, I think, something that very sort of funny while you are actually talking so much. But when you really do a walk the talk, it is a different thing. Maybe because it is more fashionable to talk about having new equipment, new hospitals, which give a lot of prestige to the to the system. I'm very happy to hear again our YB minister mentioned about empty hospital is the ideal hospital, which means that we need to look at preventive services, and primary health care is the main driving force if we really want to make sure that we have the value and of money that we're going to spend in healthcare system. We need to operationalize this idea in a very systematic way so that the additional 50% that we are going to raise from the from the current funding is not going to be wasted on just focusing on curative care. We need to make sure there is a mechanism for us to mobilize the resources and target toward preventive and promotive services, the primary care level, that is the most important area that we have to look at.
So we are putting this question to our listeners, right? This idea of would you pay more at a public hospital or a clinic? And this is because there is this argument that we do need to raise the amount that is charged for public healthcare. Do you think that this is something that Malaysians are ready for? And is this the way to go?
There are a number of studies over the years that we have done in UKM to look at willingness to pay for health services. We found that majority, more than 70% of our respondents in that study are willing to pay extra if the money are going to be mobilized properly and managed properly. I think there is a willingness to pay, but of course, we heard about the issue of trust in the government at the moment and all that. But despite all these issues that we are facing now, public still wants to actually find or are willing to pay. There is a lot of information. There is a book that we have written, John in UKM last month, which states clearly the willingness to pay is there. But then, how these willingness to pay are going to be turned into real action? We must have a mechanism for them to pay, and then the services they get from that is actually reflection of the value of the money that they put in, and they won't have to wait long when they want to get services, and they get all the proven effective treatment in the range of services and benefit that they will get. I think our population are willing to pay as long as we are going to deliver the services that they want.
So this conversation on healthcare expenditure, as you said, is not new. Even former health minister, Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad, had promised to increase the allocation before. What kind of challenges do you think the ministry will face when it comes to securing this higher allocation for healthcare, particularly in comparison to other ministries?
Yeah. If, for example, the government accept the idea of giving additional resources and meet the 5%, we are going to face with the issue of how are going to source this out. Where are going to get this funding from? So we can actually do this in various ways, and there are this option will probably be deliberated in more detail in the health white paper committee that has been the advisory committee that has been set up. I have some suggestions for us to actually look at. We can mobilize the resources within the current spending, which we don't need much in terms of establishing a new entity and all that, or from outside the sources. Within the sources itself, one of the main sources that we can do is to mobilize the current resources into health sector. For example, we talk about, we always compare with expenditure on military and also defense. Malaysia spent our allocation, currently government allocation, last year was about $3.4 billion in military. In defense, for example, can we mobilize some of this so that they don't actually spend it unnecessarily? We know that we are struggling with the potential abuses of some of these resources, which leads to a lot of problems. We need to look into that. That's one particular ways to do that. So are we willing to actually sacrifice some money that we have put in military, for example? I do not want to encourage the money comes that be allocated for education, because education and health are very closely related, and we are spending probably about 20% of our GDP, 15-20% on health, on education. That should not be touched. I think that has been well spent. But other things, that's number one, and I'm talking about military spending. Number two is that we are currently collecting tax from unhealthy activities, for example, from smoking, vaping, and also from the alcohol intakes. So why don't we actually, from now on, allocate whatever that has been collected for tobacco tax, for example, cigarette tax, tax on alcohol, and specifically allocate this all to Ministry of Health. I think this is the one way that we can do it. It's not too difficult to do that. We just need to go to the parliament, set up a regulation that actually empowers ministry to get all the funding that has now been collected for taxation that we collect from tobacco and also alcohol, go back and plunge it back into the health system. The third thing is actually, we should stop the tax relief for private insurance. This is very regressive. Now we give tax relief for people who actually spend on private insurance. I think in the discussion last 2 days, we also talked about how private insurance can contribute. They are also quite disruptive at the current moment. Very regressive way of actually only the rich will be able to have that. And then once the people have got certain chronic diseases, they are cut off from the system. So, but we are giving a lot of tax relief. I think we can actually stop the tax relief. Although we know that currently about 14 to 15% of the population on private health insurance, this should stop it. And in that way, the money that we can gain from that, not that significant amount, but it is quite large to actually top up on whatever that we have. And then the other source which we can think about, which is not very popular, is of course to increase the user fees in the government facilities. I'm not in favor of that too much because it can be difficult to implement. It can be regressive. But of course, I want to throw in another important source of funding that the government should consider. We are talking about SST, which is currently being done. Can we relocate some of the SST that we are collecting now, which is around 6% to help? And of course, the other option is to have a new source of funding. I'm thinking about VAT, but I'm not talking about the VAT that has been discussed with some politicians currently. I'm talking about VAT for health. Currently, previously, the VAT was about 6%. If, for example, we have a low level of VAT, but it's only targeted for health, so probably about 2 to 3%, that will raise quite a lot of funding. I'm not talking about the VAT for the general income for the government. This is VAT for health. This can be easily done if we have the courage to actually propose this. But we must make sure that it doesn't burden the poor. And then we have to be selective on the services that we want to put this VAT for health. And of course, the last option, if we want to consider, is my favorite, which is the establishment of a new health financing system. I'm in favor of looking at the social health insurance. But of course, we know that there are certain things that need to be put up in order to establish that. So these are the sources from inside as well as from outside the current available channel that we can actually organize our system to make sure that the money will go into Ministry of Health to get the 5% that they have been targeted for.
Prof Syed, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Professor Datuk Dr. Syed Mohamed Al-Junid, Professor of Health Economics and Public Health Medicine from Kuwait University, also the President of the Malaysian Health Economics Association. We do have to head to the news. We'll be back for your messages and calls after this.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is just about 6:41. You're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And today we have been focused on the issue of money and healthcare. This comes as the health minister is saying that we need to up our public health expenditure to 5% of the GDP. It currently hovers at about half of that, 2.59%. So we've been asking you, are you willing to pay more at public hospitals and clinics? And where would you like to see the investment go in our healthcare? Is there something specific that you'd like to see an improvement in? That number to call is 7732900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. It is the same number, by the way, to leave us a voice note. Just start with hi, tell us your name and then your point. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And we are in the part of the show where basically it's all about you and what you want to tell us. So let's start with a phone call. I believe we have Victor on the line. Victor, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Good evening, Lynn and Sharmila. My answer is a very big yes. Actually, for the past 4 years, I was admitted to public hospital twice. And each time, I would be very willing to pay 10 times the amount I actually paid. And I would still feel that it is very low. These are as compared to private this hospital. Then I remember I've never feel proudest to be a Malaysian because I asked the nurse, hey, how come since my admission, nobody asked me for deposit for medical fee? Then she just answered me, because you are Malaysian, ma. So I never feel prouder to be a Malaysian. And if, let's say, these are on my discharge, I'm required to sign a form to tick a box to say that those who are willing to pay more, just tick here. I'll willingly tick it and I'll pay the extra out of gratitude. This is not compulsory. I mean, this is appreciation. I think among all these government departments, MOH is the one that makes us feel our tax money is worthwhile.
Victor, before we let you go, I wanted to know, is there somewhere specific that you'd like to see extra money go to? You know, do you want to see, I don't know, more MRI machines or different sorts of programs being put out, anything like that?
No, I think I would like to see that it goes towards the benefit, the compensation of the staff, because they have performed this very amazing job. My second stay is during COVID period, and I can see that the hospital is stretching everything, manpower, the resources, but everybody still perform such a very good job, excellent job, very compassionate. Then, really, I only have good thing to say about our government hospital. At least that is my personal experience.
Victor, thank you so much for calling and for sharing. I mean, I think that was great. It's wonderful always to hear, like you said, Sharmila, I am proud of our public healthcare system. I think many, many Malaysians are. And it's great to hear a personal experience with that.
It's also great to hear the heart and soul of that system, the people being talked about like that. I completely agree that compensation for them should be one of the priorities.
Okay, so like we said, we are asking to hear from you today on this question of whether you would pay more at public hospitals and clinics and where you would like to see more investment in our healthcare. This is coming as the minister is saying, look, our health expenditure needs to go up to 5% of the GDP, not its current 2.59%. You can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp or send us a voice note, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have some voice notes, but I think we also have time for some messages.
Arvin says, I'm willing to pay more for public healthcare facilities, but there should be a national insurance policy system with affordable premiums for all M40s and B40s. Actually, Arvin, that's something our guest earlier brought up as well. In fact, he said that's his favorite suggestion, a social insurance system that basically makes public healthcare affordable to more people and serves as a social safety net.
Yes, I also agree with that. And I think that many people would be up for it, provided that we have that trust in our government, firstly, and that also that trust is repaid and reinforced with a very, very clear communication of how that money is being used, where exactly it's going. And if you can see the paper trail, I think that would really help. Nikki says, we need more hospitals and clinic kesehatan as we're moving towards an aging population. The budget could come from the reduction in operating costs, increase of efficiency, zero corrupt practices, and the cutting of staff.
See, this again goes back to, I think that the how we look at what, you know, that idea of we do have places with empty hospitals, right? Or underused resources. So really, sometimes this may come down to a redistribution of resources rather than a cutting of staff or opening more hospitals, for instance.
And also, it's about a proper distribution, I think, of where things should go, because mm-hmm. you don't want empty hospitals, like you said, neither do you want situations in which you do see a redundancy of staff, which then result in you saying, well, yeah, maybe we can cut a few people, when in fact, maybe what needs to happen is a reallocation, right? We have time also, I think, for a voice note. Let's start with this one from Christian.
Yes, I would like to see more budgeted public healthcare. In terms of expenditure, I think number one, it should be for non-communicable diseases. Number two would be finding better treatments and solutions for cancer patients. Number three would be to ensure an equality of equipments across Malaysia. For example, CT scans, X-ray machines and all of that. I think the heartlands of Malaysia are not getting enough of that. And finally would be on education. I think that's one of the primal concerns. That's all.
Christian, thank you so much for sending that through. That might be all, but those were really good suggestions, actually.
Yes, and again, speaks to that importance of not just having resources, but allocating them wisely.
So, I think, let's see, I wanted to do this one from Madiha before we take a quick break. So Madiha says, what is the value of health, both to the individual and in terms of the population? We cannot possibly anticipate the health problems we will suffer or the expenses required for the future, which can lead to anxiety and prevent a fulfilling life in the present. But those who can afford to pay more should contribute more. A good healthcare system defines its society and is the basis for a harmonious nation. When there is an over-reliance on private healthcare, only those who can afford it can access it. Where do I want more investment? Green and blue spaces, social prescribing, nature-based solutions instead of just pharmaco, and equitable, decentralized distribution of resources and facilities, definitely not an investment into more layers of bureaucracy and medical tourism. For some, however, a fee of 1 ringgit means an unlimited buffet of free meds and a lack of self-accountability to maintain one's own health. Since the healthcare system is always there to fall back on, and let's face it, we have little to zero agency over the determinants of our own health, more should be done to create an ecosystem that supports health and well-being overall.
A number of great points raised there, and I think, again, speaks to that the importance, and as we talk about things like non-communicable diseases, really, that a lot of this investment should be going towards education, preventing, rather than just focusing on curative measures.
We're talking today about public health expenditure. Just to reiterate, the Health Minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, has said we need to increase the amount we're spending to 5% of the GDP. Right now, it's really hovering at about half. And so we want to hear from you. Are you willing to pay more at public hospitals and clinics? Where would you like to see this investment go in our healthcare? That number to call is 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp or voice note us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back for more of your calls. We have, I think, some people on the line already. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:51. You're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And we are talking today about upping our spending when it comes to public healthcare and asking you, are you willing to pay more at public hospitals and clinics? And where would you like to see more investment in our healthcare? Just quickly, call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp or voice note us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now I think we've got another caller on the line. We've got Jean with us. Jean, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening, Sharmila and Lynn.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm speaking as a person who have been admitted to the public healthcare service before, and for the treatment that I've received versus the money that I paid, actually I didn't pay anything at all because I was admitted because of dengue, but I received a world-class healthcare which cost nothing for Malaysian. So I must say that yes, I definitely will willing to pay more for the healthcare system.
And is there anywhere that you would like to see that go? I mean, if we are going to be investing more in our healthcare, where would you want to see it go?
Well, I have to agree with the previous audience who called in, Victor. Let the money go back to the people, the nurses as well as the doctors, because they are actually the pillar behind it.
Jean, thank you so much for calling and for sharing. And, you know, again, it's really nice to hear this recognition, I think, of the work that people do.
Yes, I really do think it is. And I think that point of how little we are paying for some very important services is something that needs to be reiterated, right? I'm certainly not saying that everyone comes from the same place to be able to say, I'm willing to pay more. But I think an acknowledgement of that is important when we move forward with the conversation on, well, perhaps then should there be more that we could be charging for certain services.
We also have Joe on the line with us. Joe, good evening. What do you think?
Yeah, hello. Thank you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, okay. I'm really agree with a few previous earlier callers that yeah, Malaysia public health system is really great, and if I'm really willing to pay more. And of course, I'm more willing to support if there is universal health insurance. That certain percentage from our incomes to pay towards the insurance scheme, and it will cover the fund, and it can pick up a certain claim, a certain money that for either we can use that money to the government, public hospitals, or private hospitals. And yeah, the increased fund, I think in public hospitals, besides some more facilities, I think specialists, for certain specialists, it's still certain disease you have to wait a long period. So that is because of the lack of certain specialists in a certain field. The public hospital can retain more specialists and more those MRIs, CT scan, and all that, then that will be make our public healthcare better, much more better.
Cool, Joe. Thank you so much for calling and for sharing that. Again. So interesting to hear a variety of people being pro a safety net of sorts, right? Some form of a national insurance scheme, which, I don't know, future Insight story quite clearly. I think we now also have Manpreet on the line with us. Manpreet, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening, ladies. So I just wanted to share my experience of, being... receiving these fantastic services from the clinic kesehatan. So during my pregnancy, they kind of really look through all of your care. They give this, great care to all of the pregnant ladies. And then once you deliver your child, they would, for the first week at least, they actually come to your house to take care of the mother and the baby. And, they look for jaundice and things like that, and really make sure that you're breastfeeding your baby and helping you adapt to that new phase in life. And I think as the baby goes, there's also this free vaccination program that the government gives. And I think all of this is truly fantastic and commendable. And all I had to pay was 1 ringgit at the point when my baby turned 1 year old, and I am more than willing to pay maybe 10 times that amount. So definitely kudos to the government. The government service, and definitely, I would be looking forward to see the money that I'm paying be channeled back into, these nurses, these community nurses that are coming to our homes. But also, I think more, channeled to the specialists, right? So sometimes some people may opt for going to the private sector, maybe because they have access to specialists, and that's maybe something that you don't get easily. You can't easily access the specialists, and I think maybe that's something that, I don't know how, but if we could pay them more and they're more willing to special services, then maybe you have a certain hierarchy of fees and charges that you would charge, right? Also, I think this kind of the other sector that I'd like to see, the investment go to is perhaps this on the occupational therapy side, like physiotherapy, those kind of services. That's maybe a bit more costly if you have to go on your own, I guess. So even for that, I remember using physiotherapy services, and I was only charged 5 ringgit for a session, which is literally nothing, and I'm definitely more than happy to pay a lot more than that.
Manpreet, thank you so much for calling and for sharing. That's a lovely experience, and I think that I'm aware to a degree of the fact that our public health system is good and comprehensive, but hearing it put like that is really something else.
I think hearing it put like that, hearing the difference that this can make in people's lives, I think also for me, it's very heartening to hear so many callers, in fact, and messages that are coming through about being willing to invest more in the system. Because I always feel like talking about money is so difficult. Talking about spending more money, convincing people is also so difficult.
Also, we've been talking to a degree about services that I think people know and expect. You know, for example, you check in, you undergo procedures, you have nurses come in to check on you. But hearing about community nurses and about something like occupational therapy or physiotherapy, which isn't necessarily always part and parcel or the immediate thing you think of when it comes to primary healthcare, is really interesting. And also just, I mean, a bit of a boast, right? Because maternal mortality is supposed to be one of the great markers of public health, and we've always done really well in that. And hearing, you know, that call from Manpreet, I think exemplifies perhaps why that is. So keep those thoughts coming. We're talking about spending more when it comes to our public health, and we want to know, are you willing to pay more at public hospitals and clinics? Where would you like to see more investment in our healthcare? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or drop us a voice note and tweet us, of course, at BFM Radio.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 7:08 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We've been spending the better part of the last hour actually looking at the call for more money to be spent on healthcare, basically to get up to 5% of the GDP. And this, I mean, is something that is supposed to be in place for many upper middle income countries. Our healthcare spend currently hovers at about 2.59%. So we have been asking you for your thoughts on this. And, you know, are you willing to pay more at public hospitals and clinics? Where would you like to see the money flow in our healthcare system? That number to call again, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. That same number to voice note. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. And now, we're trying to go to a sort of health utopia and talk about where the money could go. Speaking with us on this is Associate Professor Dr. Farhan Rusli, Public Health Medicine Specialist. Dr. Farhan, as always, a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
So what are the main gaps in our healthcare system from your point of view?
Well, I think if you want to talk about the gaps in our healthcare system, you're going to have an enormous and extensive list, and you're going to have to go through a lot of things. But one of the biggest gaps is on infrastructure spending. So what I mean by infrastructure spending is not just about building more hospitals. That is also one of the key areas. But the basic infrastructure, such as internet connectivity, making sure that every single healthcare facility has internet connection that they can talk to each other. Even our logistics facilities as well. So when you talk about logistics, people always associate it with just ambulances and stuff like that. But it's actually much more than that. When you talk about the public health landscape, you're talking about the 4x4s in the rural areas in Sabah and Sarawak, the boats, the helicopters. So there's a lot of things that actually is much more bigger than what you actually see. So before we can actually talk about what should we spend on, we should actually talk about what have we actually spent on, and have we actually been spending whatever we have gotten so far effectively in the most cost-effective manner. Before we actually start asking for 5% of GDP, we should actually start looking. We have gotten, what, 2+%, close to 3% of GDP? Where has that money gone to? Has it been used as effectively as what it should be done? And if you look at the track record, the majority of it goes to expenditures on medications and stuff like that. So perhaps it's not about increasing the amount of GDP needed for healthcare spending if we go on the same track and still majority spending it on medications, which is on the treatment aspects. So we have to be very cautious about what we are saying. Just following other countries, oh, they spend 5% of GDP, does not bring any added value to the current trend of the healthcare system that we're in. Rather, how effective are we in actually spending our healthcare money that we're actually getting? That is something that we must look at before we can talk about 5%, 10% of GDP or whatnot.
So I am actually going to turn that question back to you. How well has the current budget allocation been utilized, and have they been channeled effectively and equally when we look at the different states?
Well, obviously not, right? That's the basic bottom line answer. For example, if going back to what my statement was, where the majority of spending has always been on medication and very little has been on preventive measures, we should look at how much we're actually spending on health promotion, which is actually preventing a disease before it occurs. And you should actually look at versus the number of hemodialysis centers that's opening versus the amount of treatment centers that we want to open up, putting in more beds and stuff like that. So if you're thinking of a healthier society, you should not be thinking of putting more hospital beds and opening up more centers. You should be preventing people from actually coming into your hospital centers, which means that you should make sure that your primary healthcare is actually really, really good. And how do you make your primary healthcare really, really good? You got to make sure that you have adequate coverage. When you talk about the Ministry of Health, they have extremely good coverage, extremely good. It goes into all the nooks and crannies of the country, which is already excellent as it is. Now we have to look, how effective is the public health or the primary care that we're actually doing for the country in these areas? What else needs to be spent on? Should we actually leave the rural clinics to be run only by nurses or community nurses? Or should we put a family medicine specialist in that area that can take care of a very specific population? Is that much more cost effective rather than, you know, asking for more money, but not really knowing where to put it in? So this is things that we must look at it at a very, very micro level, because that's what healthcare actually is. In the end, it's about the doctor treating a patient or a doctor preventing a patient from getting the disease in the first place. So it's much more intricate than what a white paper might make you believe it is. And for you to do this, it's not about engaging stakeholders at various points or various levels, but it's actually going down to the ground, going down to the nooks and crannies and trying to understand why in this particular area or in this particular state, the healthcare was not really as good as this. Perhaps we should look at how much the state government in those states actually play a role and actually contribute whatever money they have from the state into their public healthcare spending and so on. So there's a lot of things, Shamila, that we have to look at. But my point is that it's something that is so intricate that we must be very careful about presenting something which is extremely great, but not knowing on how we are actually going to roll it out. So that's my biggest worry here.
So with that in mind then, and I guess based on your own observations and experiences, what are some areas that you would like to see given more funding and attention, or at least a reallocation of assets?
Well, number one, we have to look at the public healthcare spending, right? In the end, we keep on saying, but we don't do. We always say prevention is better than cure, but we keep spending the majority of things on cure and not prevention, right? We should be pumping in money there. Number two, we have to ensure that there is proper infrastructure. When I say proper infrastructure, I mean that the Ministry of Health needs to make sure that each center of health at any level, primary, tertiary, at the curative, whatever, are able to talk to one another. What do I mean by able to talk to one another? You go to one clinic kesehatan or a community clinic in one state, and you go to a different clinic kesehatan in another state. They have no idea who you are. They have no idea whether you have actually gotten it or not, right? And I can give you a very good example. My daughter went for a vaccination, not in this area, which we are staying in now, but in a different area because that's where the confinement was done. Right. And when we came back, they had no clue that the vaccination was already done. They had to flip books, they had to read charts, and then they had to actually contact the nurse over there by phone saying, hey, was the vaccination actually given? Now, when you think about it, right, something as simple as that, knowing whether something has been given or not, medication being given or not, recorded and shared amongst in-house healthcare facilities. Even something as basic as this needs to be addressed. You talk about 5G, you talk about the DNB and how Malaysia is ahead in Asia, like we're going to be so very good in actually communications and stuff like that, yet we still have problems that we are not yet addressing. If you go to Sampurna in Sabah, right, they have an internet connection which works when it wants to work, which doesn't exist when it doesn't want to exist. So how do you expect these people to actually have proper communications with other centers? So it's extremely troubling for me that a lot of health information is being transmitted through personal WhatsApp between doctors, between nurses. So information such as x-rays or MRIs or blood results are being shared between WhatsApp, between messages, between people, right? Nobody has addressed this issue. But this issue exists because the infrastructure that is available now is not it does not tailor to whatever they want to do. So we have to start talking about these things, right? And this is the things that we have to actually spend on. Instead of thinking of how advanced we want to buy more MRI, more CT scans, you have to forget about that first. You have to look at what is the infrastructure that is available No point you have an MRI, but the MRI cannot be shared to somebody in a different state because the specialist is in a different state. If you talk about a neurosurgeon who needs to have access to MRI and CT scans, if you talk about the northern region, they are mostly placed in Penang. So people in Kedah, in Perlis, they may get referred to Penang. But if the CT or MRIs are done there, sometimes the patients come and bring with them the film or even the CDs, right? So it's really important that we address what are the critical areas that needs to be focused on rather than just saying, oh, we're going to change, we're going to reform, everything's going to be transformed. But what are you talking about if you're not talking about the basic simple things that you need to address?
You mentioned a number of states and areas just now. Which states need to be prioritized, particularly when it comes to infrastructure and manpower?
That's a very interesting question, Shamila. The thing is, every state in the country needs to be addressed. But every state in the country cannot be addressed in a generic form, which means that you cannot generalize your idea and ask every state to actually follow what you think. The problems in Sarawak are completely different than the problems in Sabah, completely different than the problems in Terengganu, in Kelantan, completely different than the problems in Selangor. So a lot of people think, oh, when we talk about healthcare, it's just about hospital, hospital, hospital. It's not, right? It's a lot more than that. It's a bigger than that. Curative aspects only accounts for a very small portion of healthcare in the country. We're talking about dengue, we're talking about how we're going to do the fogging. All these things actually matter and actually has a role in our bigger landscape of the healthcare system. So when you talk about that, this is why I think that it's very critical that whoever is in the government, regardless, whoever is the Minister of Health, needs to be able to engage all the state health excos in the various states so that whatever plans can be tailor-made to that state itself. So I know that you have the state health director and all these things, but the state health director is very confined to the budgets of the minister under the Ministry of Health, under the DG. But the state itself has their own separate budgets. Now, we have to make sure that we tally all these things, right? Remember the issues of Sri Lanka and My Sejahtera, where we had people saying that one is copying the other and then everybody saying that it's just a duplication. Imagine if we started working together, that we don't have duplications of healthcare provisions, that the states know exactly what the state needs because the state has their own state health meetings, which happens on a week, every week, and the state health director updates then also. So they are the ones who are very most engaged with the people on what to do. Perhaps in the eastern region, we have problems of drugs. So that's an area of public health that we must focus on. You cannot just say, okay, this is an anti-drug campaign that covers all. Perhaps somewhere in Perlis does not have that same issue. So why would you want to spend that same amount in that state? So healthcare is very much tailored to communities, very much tailored to different areas and very much tailored to different age groups. So you cannot assume that a problem here is a problem somewhere else. So that's why, Shamila, even you ask me, what are the problems in the different states? Every state has an issue. Every state has a problem and it needs to be addressed individually, and it must be very structured in the way how they then handle it. Yeah.
One of the things that's been talked about quite a bit, you know, especially I think over the last couple of years, is the importance of a focus on mental health. And so with that in mind, how would you like to see that accounted for, right? How could we be investing in improving our mental health services?
Well, I think number one, we should stop putting up a lot of numbers for people to call. Okay, for me, if I asked you, Shamila and Lynn, give me a mental health number that I can call if I need help, you won't know. But if I asked you, can you give me a number that I can call if I have an emergency, such as 999, you would be able to tell me, right? It's 999. If you have an emergency, you call that number. My question is this. If mental health has been touted by so many politicians, by so many advocates, oh, it's so critical, it's so this, it's so that. My question is, why don't we have one single dedicated hotline that people can call where it's centralized, but after its centralization where people call, they are able to be deviated to this, to where they are in the community. Like when you call 999 and you want to talk to the police, they're going to ask you where you're from, and then they're going to divert you to the center where you are located in, right? If you're in Bukit Bintang, they're going to get you to a Bukit Bintang police station and so on. So why can't they do that about mental health if they're serious about it? When you talk about mental health spending, you have to start thinking, where do patients get seen the most? It's not in the hospitals, right? People usually I mean, when you talk about the government hospitals, a lot of people say we don't want to go to the government hospital because whoever goes to the hospital end up dying. So it's a place to go to die, not a place to get better. But the reason that occurs is because they always come at the late stage, right? So when you talk about mental health, the people who need to be very well addressed is actually the GPs, the people who actually cover your cough and cold, right? When you have a cough and cold, you go to your nearby neighborhood clinic. But how many times when you get a cough and cold, does the neighborhood clinic, the doctor actually ask you, how are you? Are you feeling okay? You look unwell. Is there any issues at home? Is there any issues that you would like to share, right? This is the first stage of where you need to advocate. And this is where it's very critical that whatever healthcare reform that you want to bring in needs to have a very extensive public and private partnership. You cannot have any kind of healthcare reform if you do not involve the private healthcare sector. When I say private healthcare sector, I'm not talking about the private hospitals. I'm talking about the thousands of private GPs that are outside who actually see the majority of the patients at their first level. And this is where you need to catch them. And if you fail to bring this into the mix of actually addressing mental health issues and so on, you're going to be at the losing end, because by the time they come into the hospital, they're already in their manic stage. They're already in their very, if you talk about bipolar, they're already in the very aggressive nature and so on. If it's schizophrenia, they're already trying to kill someone. That's why they end up in the hospital. So which means that you have delayed the ability for a doctor to actually treat them early. So this is something that we need to address together. Yeah.
Dr. Farhan, really the through line here has been that the allocation is all well and good, but we need to have proper resource management. Yeah. What structures should be put in place in order for the government to sufficiently manage these allocations and ensure that they're channeled to the right places?
Well, number one, we need to acknowledge that whatever channels or whatever mechanism we have now is not working, right? It's not working as well as it should. It perhaps worked in the 1980s. We're not going to lie, right? At one point in the 80s, we were hailed as one of the countries with the best healthcare system because we could provide everything. But the way the population is expanding, the way we are actually seeing new kinds of diseases, whatever we are doing is not really good. And I'm talking about our healthcare financing, the system that we have. It's not really, as effective as what it should be. So we have to look at other countries that do well. Singapore, which has some sort of social insurance, that's one way to look at it. We can look at the NHS in the UK, where they don't actually have private or public government hospitals, but it's more under one whole umbrella. So we have to look at which other countries are doing better than us, because the way that we are heading, it's not sustainable. Our healthcare expenditure is completely nuts, right? We are unable to sustain the needs of the people. So now we have to start thinking, what's the better way? I always lean on towards the NHS. And why do I say this? Is because we love the British so much that we tend to take into account their laws, we tend to take into account their system. We send our people and our doctors and train them there. So why not we follow their system of healthcare and how it's being provided? Of course, there are some cons to the NHS, which some of the people who are against NHS will bring up. But that's where we can actually start over. When you talk about healthcare reform, we can look at what is one of the best systems that are available, and then we can see what we can enhance so that it can be better suited to our country. And that's critical. Whenever you want to talk about healthcare reform, it must be suited to the situation, to the country, to the community. That is extremely, extremely critical.
Dr. Farhan, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Associate Professor Dr. Farhan Rusli, Public Health Medicine Specialist, discussing really the ways in which we need to be thinking about money and spending money properly when it comes to our public healthcare. We'll be back for your messages and thoughts after this. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity, BFM 89.9.
It is 7:26. You're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila, and we're closing off by returning to your messages and voice notes and calls that have been coming through throughout our Inside Story today, as we ask essentially, are you willing to pay more at public hospitals and clinics? Where would you like to see more investment in our healthcare? And thank you everybody who has sent through such interesting perspectives. We've just got time, I think, for a few thoughts.
Okay, so let's see. TIDJ says, I agree with the minister. The ministry needs more funding. My cousin was an oncologist at IKN, and he told me that their yearly budget only allows them to treat between 7 to 11 patients for chemotherapy. More funds, more people will receive treatment, and also reduce the choice paralysis that physicians face.
That's the choice paralysis is one that's come up a few times, right? It's especially something we heard a lot during the pandemic. And yeah, I think that there are a lot of good points being brought up there. Meanwhile, we also have Farah, who says we should actually use funds to upgrade the reliability of key medical equipment like MRI, blood pressure machines, glucose machines, and so on. Sadly, due to the volume, a lot of the high-end equipment are in demand, and sadly, long queue because of out-of-order machines. Medical professionals bend backwards to facilitate with what they have, and they couldn't do more if the infrastructure would allow them to. Increase their pay. The job is a thankless one sometimes. And I wholly agree that we should spend more on healthcare prevention and awareness. Additionally, they should promote for more people to use the public healthcare system, especially those who aren't able to secure personal insurance because of numerous issues, including not being able to afford it and committing to the monthly payment.
Actually, the promoting of our public healthcare system is a great point. On mental healthcare, Girish says, if you want to know what should be done about the state of mental health systems in Malaysia, you should ask people who have experienced or are experiencing mental health struggles, particularly those who have survived mental health challenges and recovered. They will know best what is needed. I actually think that's great advice in general, more community engagement to find out what people might need or where the pain points are.
So I don't want to pretend, simply because we have not had time, quite frankly, that everybody is for paying more, because there are also some serious points being raised. PS, for example, saying, if there's evidence that our country's coffers don't have sufficient funds, then fine, I can pay more. Pointing out various public scandals involving public funding and how that is, difficult to stomach, I think, which is a point that's coming through in a number of different ways. And we also, I think, have, let's see, this voice note that came through from Kanna.
Hello, hi, I'm Kanna here. Right, it is not the matter of raising the cost of the medical expenses, whether either in private hospital or government hospital. If you hike the price of the charges, it must be reasonable. And the other things, they have to study, not only in our country, they have to study the healthcare systems in our neighboring country. And they have to do some research and development and find some good healthcare systems in Malaysia.
Kanna, thank you so much for sending that through. And I think that's it, right? It's not necessarily a pure resistance to paying more. Really, it comes down to, okay, fine, but give us all the information, which in many ways is what our guest, Dr. Farhan, was saying earlier as well.
I really do think that when we talk about paying more, we want to know what it is we're paying for and that money is being used well. That's what it comes down to.
So we've been talking today about public health expenditure and asking you whether you're willing to pay more. Where would you like to see that investment go? You can keep those thoughts coming. Meanwhile, after the 7:30 news, we're going to be heading to Popcorn Culture, where we're reviewing Netflix's The Sandman. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.